This morning, turn in your Bibles Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. The Word of God says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you are our refuge. You are our strength. God, we give you honor and praise. And Lord, that you might be glorified in this service this morning. Lord, without your Holy Spirit convicting our hearts, without you opening the eyes of our understanding, we won't be enlightened. But Lord, we ask that you enlighten us, that we put aside everything that might hinder us, and God, that we'll listen to the Word of God with all of our hearts. Lord, we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help. Time of trouble, he's always there. A refuge, a place that we can go and feel safe, just to sit and enjoy and relax, a place in the shelter of a storm that might be coming our way. When times get tough, you ever been there? Someone said this morning, they came in and said, Preacher, it's tough. Times are tough. Times are hard in our life right now. And I said, I understand. I understand. You know, times get that way. Life is full of troubles. Life is full of sorrows, heartaches. The older we get, the harder life gets, seems like. But the Bible says God is our refuge. He's the one that we can turn to. He's the one we can rely on when we come to those places where no one else or nothing else be able to help us. God is there. And folks, we ought to turn to God very first in our life. We ought to hide ourselves in God. Just let him strengthen our lives. Get into the Word of God. Think about the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. The Lord is my strength and refuge. Now, all of us need that. We need a refuge from the accusing conscience that we sometimes have. And when we do something wrong in our minds, our conscience, the Holy Spirit starts saying, listen, what you've done is a sin against God. And man, what do we turn? We just fall on our knees before God and say, God, I have sinned against you. And Lord, I want you to cleanse me. And God's there to forgive us from the sins and the things that come our way in our life. Now, the Bible tells us, and it's very clear, that we have a refuge in Jesus Christ. And the Psalm says that he is our refuge. Over in the Old Testament, in Joshua chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, if you'll turn there in your Bibles, there was a cities of refuge in the Old Testament. Our Lord and Savior spake to Joshua and said, Joshua, speak to the children of Israel and tell them, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and there he shall find your refuge from the avenger of blood. In the Bible, God says, when a person, back those days, someone accidentally, say two men were working and somehow another one killed his friend, and the city of refuge was a place that he could run to because the avenger, one of the relatives of that friend, would come to take vengeance on him and kill him. Well, he was to go and hide in one of the cities of refuge. And I want you to think about the nature of these cities this morning. And I want you to think about the names of the cities this morning. And also I want to think about the nearness of the cities this morning, because the Bible says that Jesus is our refuge. Someone that we can turn to when we've done wrong. Now, the nature of the cities, the people needed a place that they could find protection, the Bible says here. And when one flees to those cities and stands in the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearings of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and shall give him a place that he may dwell among them. One of these guys had killed a brother or a friend accidentally, and he had to run to that city, and he would knock on the gate and say, "Listen, I need into the city. I've accidentally killed my friend, and the avenger is going to come and take my life if I don't get in." And the Bible says God knew that they needed a place of refuge, so they would go there to that city and declare their case before the city, and they would let them in. And there in that city, he would take refuge. He was completely safe inside that city. No one could touch him. No one would bother him, because you know what? All inside that city were under the same causes. They had all hurt someone accidentally, and they all had been there. Now, it was a place for someone who had accidentally killed someone, not for a cold-blooded murderer, but some accident had happened, and they had come to that place, and they were seeking shelter there. And they had said, "Listen, we have accidentally killed someone unwittingly." The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to die for our sins, that we might have life. The Bible says we nailed him to that cross. Our sins, we nailed him there. You nailed him there. I nailed him there. But we did it in ignorance. We did it unintentionally. We did it not knowing. The Bible says Jesus, when he hung on the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Jesus is our refuge. He's the one that we can run to this morning. You're here this morning and you've never trusted anyone as your Lord and Savior. Jesus is the one. Some people say, "Well, you can trust a lot of things for salvation, but nothing will get you into the city but Jesus Christ." You see, he is the only way. He's the truth and the life. He's our refuge in time of trouble. He's where we go when all else is running after us and chasing us, and the storms of life are coming at us, and death is coming, friends. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. We're all going to die. You're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This morning, you can come to him. He's willing to let you in. He's willing to bring you into his family. You'll receive the kingdom of God. You'll receive eternal life in Christ Jesus. He's the only way. He's that city that God has appointed. He's that one that God has appointed for refuge. And there's a difference between someone unknowingly who commits sin and those who don't care. They willfully deny Jesus Christ. If you are openly and denying Jesus Christ, like the man said, he's an atheist on the program. He said, "I don't trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." He denied Christ. There's no refuge beside Jesus Christ. If you die without Christ, you have no shelter. You have no place. You have no refuge for your sins. You'll be lost for all eternity because you did it knowingly. Did you know this morning you've got to make a choice? You came here, I hope you're saved, and in a crowd like this, there's a lot of people that probably are not saved. You come here this morning, I don't know why you came, but I know one thing, God led you here. You're not here by an accident. You're here because I believe it's a divine appointment, and you've heard the word. You've heard that Jesus Christ is your refuge. You've heard that you can only trust him as your Lord and Savior. You've heard that he died for you, that you might come to eternal life. You've heard that. Now you've got to make a choice. Are you going to trust him this morning? Are you going to walk out of here willingly rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you reject him and you leave this place and you die, then you'll spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. Now, people don't like to hear that word anymore. People don't say, well, you know, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. He doesn't. You chose to go there by willingly saying no to Jesus Christ. You place yourself outside where the old devil, the avenger, can kill you and harm you and destroy your life for all eternity. Not just a little short time, and I'll get out. No, the Bible says forever in that place called hell. No escape, no way out. You're forever there because you willingly rejected the Holy Spirit of God to come into your life and save you. You rejected God's refuge, Jesus Christ. The one who died on the cross, you rejected him. Now, is that your life this morning? You don't know Jesus Christ? You're lost? Wouldn't you like to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I unknowingly right now have rejected you, but I want to come to you. I want to trust you. I want to be into your kingdom. You know, the thief on the cross, as he was dying there, one of them saw him and realized that he was the Son of God, and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There in all of his sin, and man, this guy was a sinner of the worst kind. He was condemned to the cross. And he was dying on that cross. He could do nothing to save himself, but only look to Jesus. And Jesus says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Why? What did he do? He simply called upon the name of the Lord. He knew in his mind that this was the Christ, that he was the city of refuge. He was the Savior. He was for salvation. And he called upon God and he saved him right like he was. Now that could be you today. Sitting there just like you are, you say, well, I haven't done anything, preacher. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is call upon God. Would you admit that you are a sinner? We all have sinned, the Bible says. I know I am. You know, the difference between me and you, I've called upon the name of the Lord. I've asked him to come into my heart, and he has. And when I sin, I have someone I can turn to and say, Lord, I have failed you. I've sinned. I'm willing to confess that. And he's willing to forgive me and cleanse me, the Bible says. Is that your life? You're in one of the two. You're either going to deny him and walk out of here lost, are you going to accept him in your heart and you're going to walk out of here saved? Which one do you want to do this morning? I'll tell you what, when someone accidentally killed someone back in those days, they were in a hurry. They hot-footed it, so to speak. They got to that city of refuge as fast as they can, you see. Let's look at the names of those cities. Kadesh. One of the cities, there's six of them. One of the cities was named Kadesh. You know that word means holiness. Holiness. Without holiness, the Bible says, no man shall see God. Revelations 21:27 says, there will be in no wise enter into heaven anything that defiles, anything that worketh abomination. Nothing can enter heaven without it being clean. Now, folks, let me tell you something. We're in a dilemma, aren't we? We can't get into heaven unclean. We're sinners. We've got to have a Savior. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has come, and in faith we acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior and turn from our sinfulness and start living for Him, and He becomes our holiness. And we are right through Him. God declares us right because we come through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the only holy one. He's the only pure one. He lived a sinless life. And just as men ran to Kadesh and found safety in that city of holiness, we are safe by the holiness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Would you come this morning? You're not right. You're not holy. We're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sin in our life. Would you come and accept Jesus Christ as your righteousness this morning? Shechem. Shechem means Christ is my strength. It means Christ is my support. It means Christ is my shoulder, literally. He is my shoulder. I hear people say, well, preacher, I'm trying to hold on, to be faithful to the end. Well, let me ask you something. You were not faithful in the beginning, were you? No. Why do you have to hold on to be faithful to the end? Can't do it, can you? We need some strong shoulder. Man, I remember when I was just a little lad, I walked with my daddy through the woods many a day. I guess that's the reason I like it so well now. But my dad was a big guy. He's about 6'4", 6', well, he probably 6'4", beginning to, he started shrinking in his older age. But back then, I thought Daddy was the strongest man in the world. Man, I saw Daddy, he'd pick up, he worked hard. He was a strong guy. And I would go hunting with him. I was just a little lad. And I would go hunting with him when I was about 8, 9 years old. And I'd walk through the woods, and we'd go down to the slough. Y'all know what a slough is? We'd go down to the slough to hunt ducks. And Daddy had on waders. I didn't have no waders. But when we get to the edge of that slough, Daddy would just pick me up and set me on top of his shoulders. I didn't get wet at all. I didn't even have to walk through that old mud and mire and all of that stuff. He would take me across the slough to the other side and set me down on dry ground. You see, that's the way Jesus is. He's our shoulder, our rock. When we come to a slough in our life, when we come to a difficulty in our life, when we come to a crossing in our life where we've got to get to the other side, Jesus says, I'm here. I'm your refuge. I'm your shoulder to lean on. I'm your strength. You don't have to worry. I will get you safely across. I love the psalm, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Man, I'm coming through it. Jesus Christ is that shoulder who takes us through it. The one lamb that was lost. Jesus says, I go out and find that lamb. I pick it up. I put it on my shoulders and I take it back to the flock. I take it back to a home. That's what Shechem means. He is our strong shoulder. That's pretty safe, isn't it? When you're standing or sitting on Jesus' shoulder, He's our strong and mighty tower. Oh, he's our strong refuge. He's our tower of strength this morning. Are you in the city? Are you in Christ? Something to think about, isn't it? Because let me tell you something, just out there is trouble. Just outside these doors are heartaches. Just outside these doors is death. He may be waiting on you today. You need Jesus today. Oh, preacher, I've got many days left. I'm just a young man. I'm just a young lady. I'm just in the prime of life. We need Jesus. Today is the only day that you might have. Hebrew means fellowship. Now, Baptists know a lot about fellowship, brother. Let me tell you something. After Jesus Christ comes into your life and he's your refuge and he's your strong shoulder to lean on, he's your Savior, he puts holiness to your account. After he gives you all of that, he says, listen, I want you to learn. I want you to grow. I want you to be discipled. We need that fellowship. Man, I tell you what, I came early this morning to pray. Why? Because I'm not prayed up? No, I need prayer, folks. I came early and I went into a Bible study class. Well, you're the preacher. You're supposed to know everything. No, I don't know everything. But man, I love to fellowship with my believers, my friends in Christ Jesus. I love to sit in a Bible study and hear the teacher teach, because you're always learning things. You're never too old to learn things, folks. You need that learning. You see, just like in that city, all were alike. All of them were murderers. All of them had accidentally killed somebody. All of them were running from the avenger. They needed that fellowship. And when they went inside those doors, they found someone like them, of like kindness, of like troubles in their life. And they could say, oh, what a wonderful day when Jesus came into my life. When you come into church, when you come into a Bible study class, when you get into a group to sit down and talk about your life, oh, it's a wonderful day. A wonderful day to grow in Christ. A wonderful day. And then, Beger is a stronghold, a fortified city. Do you know how many people were in that city? Hundreds were there. How long were they safe in that city? Look at Joshua 20, verse 6. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who is the high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled. How long? As long as the high priest liveth. Let me tell you something, folks. When he went into those city gates, he could stay there just as long as the high priest was living. Now, I guarantee you, if I was in that city, I'd want that high priest to get his yearly checkup every year. I'd want him to take his vitamins every day. I'd want him to be out being fit and strong, so that he would live a long time. But let me ask you something. How long does Jesus Christ live? He's our great high priest, the Bible says. Forever. He ever liveth. How long are you safe in Christ Jesus? Forever. You cannot lose Jesus. You see? He's forever on your side. We'll spend an eternity in heaven with him. How long is eternity? I don't know, but it's a long time. Someone told me years ago, I never will forget this, how long eternity lasts. And I said, well, eternity. You know, they said if a little bird would go to the Pacific Ocean and pick up one grain of sand in his little beak and fly all the way to the Atlantic and drop it on the shore. And he kept doing that, flying back and forth with one grain of sand. That's how long eternity would be. I had a better definition. I said, you can go down to Dairy Queen. Some of y'all heard this, ain't you? I'll change it up a little bit. You sit down there with Brother Bill, and you drink a cup of coffee, and you wait till he picks up the ticket. That's eternity. Oh, I tell you what, I love Brother Bill. How long is eternity? Forever. And Jesus Christ liveth forever. Not 10 years, not 15 years, not 20, not 100. You see, we think sometimes, young people, we think sometimes 100 years is a long time, don't we? But let me tell you something, when you get to about 40, they jump awful quick. I think 1 year equals 10. You see? Well, when I was walking back through the woods with my daddy and I looked up my daddy, I thought, boy, my daddy is old. And you know what? He was only 30 years older than I was. He was 30. He was 30. Woo! You know what? I'm twice that age now. If he was old, I'm double old. But Hebrews said Jesus is our great high priest, and he ever liveth to make intercession. Folks, that is our city of refuge. Christ is our Savior. I'm in him, and he's in me. And we'll spend an eternity together. Oh, what a fellowship. What happiness they had in that city. Oh, he's our refuge. And then Golan, that means joy. Folks, Christ is my sufficiency. He is my Savior. He is my joy. I find joy in Christ Jesus. The happiest people in the world were those that were inside that city of refuge. Because let me tell you something. If you had been running and running and running and you were tired, you didn't have any more water, they couldn't take anything with them. Man, you better not hang around. You couldn't run home to get your clothes, whatever. You better get to the city of refuge quick, because when word found out, you were going to be slain, an eye for an eye kind of like. So they didn't take anything with them. But after they'd been running and they were tired, to knock on that door and open the gates to that city, and they could go in and they could find rest and they could find water for the weary. Let me tell you, when I came to Jesus Christ, what did I find? I found salvation. Oh, I found satisfaction. I found security. I found the sovereignty. I found sufficiency in Christ Jesus. All because he was my refuge. I'm safe. Praise God. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. You go to Romans 8 and you start reading there. Brother, I tell you what, there's nothing. That's the nature of the city. That is the names of the city. One more and I'll be through. The nearness of the cities. Folks, when you needed a city, you needed it near you. And the Bible tells us they put the cities located so that no matter where you were in the country, you could get to a city. In time, it was there. It was always near, so you could run to it. When you need help, let me tell you something. You need it quick, don't you? You don't need somebody to say, well, I'll help you next week. No, you need help right now. These cities were for everyone, rich, poor. Didn't matter who you were. If you was a stranger and you was passing through and you accidentally run over someone in your car, man, you needed a city. And it was there. Salvation is for everybody, folks. There's not a person in here today that cannot be saved. God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say you had to have a master's degree or a doctor's degree or well-educated. All you have to know is you are a sinner and you need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's that city of refuge for you. They were built up on high mountains so people could see them. When you looked up, you could see the city there, and you knew that all you have to do is get to that city. The Bible says God, 2,000 years ago, lifted his son up, and he said all you have to do is look to Jesus. As Moses lifted the serpent up in the wilderness, Jesus said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And folks, the Bible says if Christ is lifted up, he will draw all people to him. Salvation is so simple that everybody can come. Call unto him. He will save you. And you will find satisfaction. You will find strength. You will find security. You will find salvation in Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you've got to make a choice. Let me tell you something. You may say, well, I got another day to think about it. You do not know if you do or not. I hope you will. But if you walk out that door, you are without excuse. You willingly refuse the Savior. I'm not trying to scare you, but that ought to wake you up. Because chances are, someone in here today will not be alive next week this time. You think about that. Someone in here today, the chances are, you will not be alive next week. Now let me tell you something. Where will you spend an eternity? It all matters what you do at this moment with Jesus Christ. If he's your Savior, then praise God. You have no problem. You have no worry. He's your Savior. He's your strength. He's your strong and mighty tower. You'll be with him for eternity. But if he's not, and you know that, you're in trouble if you don't come. It'd been better for you if you hadn't ever come today, the Bible says. Because you've got to deny him or you've got to come to him. What are you going to do? Now let me ask you something. If you are saved, you know you're saved. What are you doing for Jesus Christ? Are you serving him like you should? If you're not, you might need to just come down here and say, Lord, I failed you. I need to serve you much better. Make a recommitment of your life to it. I have to do that. I know you need to do that. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know that my life is not always pleasing. I'm willing to confess that before God. Get it right. Man, we've got problems, don't we? Some of you are here today and you're without a church home. You don't have a church home and you're looking for a church home. Listen, if you feel the calling of God to come to this church, why not come today? Why put it off? There's no need of it. But if you don't, that's all right. I don't want you here if this is not the place God led you. You'll be miserable and so will I. And that's the truth. But let me tell you something. Whether you come today or join our church today or not, I'm still going to love you. I'm still hoping to be friends for you. If you're out there in the world and you need somebody, you call on me. And I'll point you to Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for these that have come. Lord, I thank you that your word's gone forth and we've got a decision to make. Lord, we're going to make the right decision because we want you to come into our life. We don't want anybody to leave this building today lost. Lord, if they're here, would you send them our way? And come and let you be their strong and mighty tower, their refuge in time of trouble. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.